So today we're reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 9, text 80-82. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Just recently they had program in Vrindavan. They celebrated the 400-year anniversary of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somebody announced like that yet? No? I guess there's the solar calendar, which is what we usually use, we're accustomed to, is May 17th was the 400-year anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So they had a big program there in Vrindavan, some of the mahants and everything. The lunar day was the May 8th. All right, so we're reading text number 80. I guess we'll chant this one, the first two together, and then we'll do the response of the 82. Kavirite snana kari deki ragana jai jai Sri Radha Shyamasundar ki jai. Kavirite snana kari deki ragana stuti pranati kari manila kritarth. After bathing in the river Kaveri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Ranganath, and offered his ardent prayers and obeisances. Thus he felt himself successful. Premaveshe kaila bahuta gananartan. Deki chamakara haila sabar lokerman. In the temple of Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in ecstatic love of Godhead. Seeing his performance, everyone was struck with wonder. When I saw this verse, I was reminded of two verses that are in the temple at Krishna's Janmasthan in Mathura. It's describing Lord Chaitanya arriving there in Mathura. It says, there's two verses actually written on the wall over the deity there from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first one is, Mathura Asya Kaila Vishranti Tirtasnan Sanmastani Keshav Deki Karila Pranam. That when Lord Chaitanya entered Mathura, he went to first take bath at Vishranti Tirtha, and then he went Janmasthan at Keshav Deki. He went to see the Keshav deity at the Krishna's Janmasthan, Karila Pranam, offered his obeisances. And the next verse reminded me of this verse here. It says, Premanande Nache Gaya Sagana Hunkar Prabhura Premaveshe Deki Loke Chamatkar. So many same words are there. Premanande Premaveshe Deki Loke Chamatkar. Everyone became astonished to see the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he chanted and danced before the deities. I think Haridas at Govardhan also, there's chanting and dancing in front of Haridas there. All right, text number 82. Sri Vaishnava Ekka Vyankata Bhattanam. Sri Vaishnava Ekka Vyankata Bhattanam. Prabhu re nirmantrana kaila kariya saman. Prabhu re nirmantrana kaila kariya saman. Shri Vaishnava Ekyan Katabhatanam. Prabhurenim Mantrana Kaila Kariya Saman. Shri Vaishnava Ekyan Katabhatanam. Prabhupada Nimantana Kaila Kariya Saman. Shri Vaishnava Eka Venkata Bhattana. Shri Vaishnava Eka Venkata Bhattana. Prabhure Nimantrana Kaila Kariya Saman. Ladies. Shri Vaishnava Eka Venkata Bhattana. Shri Vaishnava Eka Venkata Bhattana. Prabhu Nimantana Kaila Kariya Saman. Shri Vaishnava Eka Venkata Bhattana. Prabhu Nimantana Kaila Kariya Saman. Shri Vaishnava Ek. One devotee belonging to the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Shri is the founder of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Shri Brahma, Kumar, and Shiva are the original founders of the different Sampradayas. So, in the Shri Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya comes. Vyankatabhata. Vyankatabhata. Nama. Named. Prabhure. Unto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nimantrana. Invitation. Kaila. Did. Kariya. Offering. Saman, great respect. Translation for Prabhupada is doing Srila Prabhupada. One Vaishnava known as Venkatabhata then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. Prabhupada, Sri Venkatabhata was a Vaishnava Brahman and an inhabitant of Sri Rangachatra. He belonged to the disciplic succession of Sri Ramanujacharya. Sri Ranga is one of the places of pilgrimage in the province of Tamil Desh. The inhabitants of that province do not retain the name Venkata. It is therefore supposed that Venkatabhata did not belong to that province, although he may have been residing there for a very long time. Venkatabhata was in a branch of the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Vadagalai. He had a brother in the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati. The son of Venkatabhata was later known in the Gaudiya Sampradaya as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he established the Radharaman Temple in Vrindavan. More information about him may be found in a book known as Bhakti Ratnakar, Chapter 1, Text 100, by Narahari Chakravarti. Ramagyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha sunyavadi paschata disitarne. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhibhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. After bathing in the river Kaveri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Ranganath and offered his ardent prayers and obeisances. Thus he felt himself successful. In the temple of Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in ecstatic love of Godhead. Seeing his performance, everyone was struck with wonder. One Vaishnava known as Venkatabhatta then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. This Ranganath temple, I don't know, I guess it was described something in the previous verse. I don't know if everyone was here, but this is attributed as to be the largest temple of India, very expansive temple on an island. And the deity is also very large. I don't know how many have seen Ranganath. Of course, yeah, some. He's, 21 feet, I think I saw, 21 feet long, some 20 feet long, lying down, Vishnu form, lying on Anantashesh. Very wonderful deity. My wife is telling me that, one of our members, Vaishnavi, her house is just next to the temple or something like that. Apparently. But anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to this temple and danced and chanted in front of the deity. It's described here that Venkatabhatta came and invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. This is a system, Vedic system, was that any visiting, especially sannyasi, any saintly person comes to town, everyone immediately, someone immediately offers him, come and take bhiksha, it's called bhiksha, they call, or have meal at their house, because sannyasis, the Brahmins, but any guest, atithi, that the guest is considered to be equal to God. That is Vedic culture, that one is, there's no question of shortage in Vedic culture. Everyone is supplied. That is, Srila Prabhupada gave instruction that the householder's duty is that before taking meal, he should go out to his doorstep and call out loudly, "If anyone is hungry, come and eat," like that. Three times, or something like that. Three times he should call out loudly, anyone hungry, come and eat. So this is a Vedic culture that the Brahmins, the householders are meant to entertain guests. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself set example in his householder time. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that his father, every day they would offer meals to some guests like that, sannyasis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described that sometimes there was no food at home or no money, but he would invite some up to 20 sannyasis to come for lunch. And his mother would say, how are we going to take care, how are we going to supply them food and everything? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would arrange everything. So this is the Vedic culture, taking care of guests and inviting them to your house. Venkatabhatta is, there's actually something he has described here as in a branch, there's two branches. Venkatabhadra was in a branch of the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Padagalai. There's two branches. I just, because I know that Vasu Goshi spent some time in South India, he used to always talk about these two branches, Tenkalai and Padagalai. And I did some, just looking at the folio, it mentioned something that someone did some research. It says the Tenkalai means the South Indian, or Southern sect, and Padagalai is the Northern sect. He mentioned a couple interesting differences in their philosophies. He said the Tenkalai, which is the Southern sect, they accept this system, what is called the Marjara Kishore Nyaya, that one should obtain God's mercy just like the cat, the kitten, and the kitten is picked up by the mouth of the cat. So one should be completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and expect his mercy always, and not expect that he can do anything on his own to attain that mercy like that. And whereas the Padagalai, the Northern sect, they say that no, it's more like a monkey, that the baby monkey holds on to the mother and this way moves around from place to place like that. It's Markata Kishore Nyaya. And there's also some other sect that there's other differences, excuse me, that they have different conceptions of the position of the goddess of fortune tree, that the Tenkalai say that she's just an empowered living entity, and the Padagalai, they say that no, she's on the level of Narayan or Vishnu like that. So these two sects are there in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Some other differences are there. And Venkata, he was in the Padagalai. He had mentioned in the purport that he had a brother known as Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati. There was one other brother. He was Trimalabhata. And so the son of Venkatabhata was Gopal Bhatta Goswami. At the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Ranganath, and he was invited, as just going to be described later on in this next few verses, or the rest of the chapter perhaps, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for 4 months in the house of Venkatabhata during the month, during the period of Chaturmasya. Chaturmasya means the rainy season in India, and traveling mendicants, traveling sannyasis, they would usually stay at one particular place during that time, 4 months of the rainy season. So Venkatabhata, he took that opportunity, knowing that this period of time was just approaching. In a few days, he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay in his house for this 4 months, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his invitation. Generally, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Patita Pavan. Papi Tapi Jata Chilo Harinami Rudarilo. He delivered the most fallen people. That, of course, Haridas Thakur, he was born in a Muslim family, and Jagai and Madai are very famous, Tarasakshi, Jagai, Madai. And even Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were, in their own opinion, they described themselves as Nicha Jati, Nicha Sanghi, Kari Nicha Kam, Kaj, whatever. And they describe themselves as being from very low families, even though, of course, we understand that they were born in Brahmin families. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were born in very prestigious Sarasvat Brahmin family, but they were more or less ostracized because they took up service in the Mohammedan government. They were big ministers. They're described Chakraturnamasesha Mandalipati, Shrenam Sada Tuchava. They gave up their very exalted position, social position, not spiritual or even religious like that. But they had big positions in government, and they gave that up. Even Raghunath Das Goswami, sometimes some Vaishnava Aparadis, they say that he was born in a lower family like that, although he was the greatest Vaishnava, Raghunath Das Goswami. But here we see that Gopabhatta Goswami came from a very elevated Brahmin family. What is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Mamhi Partavya Pashracha Ye Pi Siu Papayonia Striyo Vaishas Tata Shudras Tepi Yanti Paramgityam. That, of course, in Kali Yuga, everyone is Papayoni. This is described. What is that? Kalo Shudra Sambhava. That everyone is born no better than Shudra in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Garbhadhan Samskar is not observed, even in a Brahmin family. Immediately, they're classified as Shudra. So these samskaras, samskarad bhavad duja, is the next line, I think, is it called Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Samskarad bhavad dvija, that one becomes dvija, twice born by following these samskaras. Born Shudra in the Kali Yuga, but by performance of samskara, one can become dvija. And then vipra by studying the Vedas, and Brahma Jananti Iti Brahmana, by understanding the supreme, the Brahman, one can become a Brahmana. So what is that? Then Krishna says, Kim Punar Brahmana Punya. What is the next line, Maritam? Bhakta Rajar Shayastata. That, So he says that, Krishna says that these Papayonis, if they take shelter of Mam Vipashritya, they can become Tepi Yanti Paramgatim. They can attain the supreme destination. And then what to speak of the Brahmanas? Kim Punar, Brahmana Punya. That they are always already very pious by nature. So what to speak of them? They can become very easily attain the supreme abode by taking shelter of Krishna. So here, Gopabhatta Goswami, he's taking... He took birth in this family of Brahmanas. And moreover, even as a seven-year-old boy, I think he was 7 years old at that time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in their house, he engaged, even at that age, in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, he went to Vrindavan and accepted Rupa and Sanatana Goswami as his elder brothers like that. And as mentioned, he established the Radharaman temple. So that was described. We had very nice, ISKCON actually has very nice relationships with the Radharaman temple and the devotees there that are taking care of that temple. Our good friend is there, Padmanabh Goswami. His father, Vishvambhar Goswami, was friend of Srila Prabhupada. And they also... We used to also have many opportunities to take prasadam at their house, Radharaman's prasadam. And they very nicely narrate. Srila Prabhupada actually told the devotees that they should go to this Radharaman temple. And after he established the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, he told the devotees that they, if you want to learn how to worship the deity very nicely, And Vaishnava etiquette, you go down to the Radharaman temple. So they take very nice care of Radharaman, small deity like that. That Radharaman temple, the Radharaman deity is a very special deity. First of all, he's still there in Vrindavan. Some of the other deities of Vrindavan, they've been taken to Rajasthan, Madan Mohan, Gopinath, Govinda, like that. But Radharaman, the Goswamis, they didn't take Radharaman to Rajasthan under the protection of the Marwari kings that time when the Muslims were attacking. These deities were taken, some of these deities were taken to Rajasthan for protection under the Marwari kings. But originally this Radharaman deity, the story is that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was feeling greatly separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he had some dream like that, that he should go to the Gandaki River up in Nepal. And so he went there. Gandaki River is the place where the Shalagram Shilas are found. So he had his lota, his kamandalu for taking bath. He dipped it into the river for taking bath in the morning one day when he was there. And when he picked it up, he saw that there was these Shalagram Shilas in his lota. So he dumped them out, and again he went to get some water, and again the Shilas, he found them in his pot like that. Like this three times. So he thought that, all right, okay, I should take these back to Vrindavan and worship them. The Shalagram Shila is manifest form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he brought these Shalagram Shilas back to Vrindavan, and one time, the day before Nrisimhadev's appearance day, after he returned to Vrindavan some year like that, some man came around and was offering ornaments and clothes for the deities. So when he came to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he offered some clothing, but Gopal Bhatta said, I don't need them because I have only these Shalagram Shilas, whereas the other deities were there, Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath. So this man went away and offered them to other places like that. So, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami was taking rest. He was thinking that how this the day of Nrisimha Chaturdasi was there. He was thinking how Nrisimhadev appeared from a pillar and how Krishna can do like this most wonderful things. And he was thinking like this. And the next day when he opened, they keep the Shalagram Shilas in a box with mantra, they wake them up, and mantra, they put them to sleep, and mantra, they do everything like that. So next morning when he opened his box, he saw that this one Shalagram Shila, it was called Damodar Shila, had manifest into a beautiful threefold bending form of Radharaman. He offered, gave that name Radharaman. Very wonderful self-manifest deity from this Shalagram Shila. So he offered that, therefore he established this temple, Radharaman temple, Gopal Bhatta. The deity is very wonderful. Padmanabha says you can see the fingernails and like this, and also on the backside, the Shalagram Shila, the two halves of the Shalagram Shila were there. Very wonderful deity. Similarly, this Ranganath temple, this is also very wonderful deity, as we've mentioned, is very large form of Vishnu lying on Anantashesh. This described that this deity was originally worshipped by Lord Brahma, and he gave that deity to Ikshvaku Maharaj. We understand in the Bhagavad Gita was the forefather of Ramchandra. So Ikshvaku brought that deity to Ayodhya, and After Ram's conquest of Lanka, Vibhishan came there to Ayodhya to attend Ramchandra's coronation. So Vibhishan asked for this deity of Ranganath, and he brought him back. At least what I read, I think in Jud Barrett's book, he describes these different holy places. He did lots of research. He said that this deity would stay wherever he was set down. So when Vibhishan was on his way back to Lanka, he stopped there at Ranganath, and the deity stayed there at that time. And the deity is facing south, and the entrance of the temple is also south, where Vibhishan stays in Lanka, stayed at that time. He was taking charge of the kingdom of Lanka. So this described, I think, last week, and the previous purport, it describes something about the establishment of the Ranganath, the temple, how it has seven walls around it. So it's described there something about the alwars. I heard that Dinabandhu Prabhu was reading something about the different alwars, great saintly persons in the Sri Sampradaya. I was told that he didn't mention something about one of the alwars, Tirumangai. Now these alwars were 12 very famous devotees in the Sri Sampradaya, and they're incarnations of different associates of Lord Vishnu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives some description of them. I'm just going to read off their names: Kasara Muni or Sarajogi, Payagi Alvar, first one, Bhuta Yogi or Pudata Alvar, was an incarnation of the Lord's conch shell, Branta Yogi, Mahad. They have different names. Branta Yogi or Mahad is also known as Pay Alvar. And number four was Bhaktisar, Tirumadi Saip Iran Alvar. Five is Shatari, also known as Shatakop, Parankush, and Bakulabaran, and is also known as Nama Alvar. Kulashekar, he was an incarnation of the Kastuba Jam, Vishnu Chita, Hari Alvar, who was an incarnation of Garuda, Bhaktangri Renu, Tondarapipadi Alvar, Muni Vaha was known as Yogi Vaha or Pranana, is also known as Tirupani Alvar, he was an incarnation of the Srivatsa, and Chattukavi or Parakal, Tirumangai Alvar, was an incarnation of the Lord's bow. And so this Tirumangai Alvar, he was very, took a big part in the establishment of the temple, the walls around the temple. I wanted to read something about him from the Harmonious magazine. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's English back to Godhead like that. He was born in the 8th century near Tiruvalli. He was a very devoted from his childhood. It mentions that he went on a journey to many places of pilgrimage in the company of sadhus. And as time glided on, he acquired proficiency in the Shastric lores and flushed into youth with exuberant health. During his pilgrimage journeys, many persons were attracted by his learning to associate with him and became his disciple. Four of them possessed supernatural powers. One of them was Tora Barakun, or Tarka Churamani. He had such great skill in debate that nobody could defeat him. The second disciple was Tardarjan, who means he can open any door, He could open all kinds of locks, however strong they might be, by blowing on them with his mouth. The third was Nerilai Meripan, which means the one who could check movement. He possessed the power of stopping the movement of anybody by touching his shadow. And the fourth was Nilmel Narapan, who could walk on water, which means he could walk on the water. He had the power of walking on the surface water. Saint Tirumangai, after visiting many places of pilgrimage, came to Sri Rangam with these four disciples. That time he saw the temple of Sri Rangam was in such a dilapidated condition it had become the habitation of birds and beasts of the forest. Dense bushes and shrubs covered the whole place and made it the favorite haunt of ferocious animals. The priest came in the daytime for performing the worship of the deity at the peril of his life. Pained at heart by the sight of the ruined shrine, Tirumangai made up his mind to build a new temple of the Lord. With this end in view, he approached the rich men of the country with the prayer for financial help, but the rich chose to regard him as a hypocrite, and he was turned away disappointed from every door. Tirumangai felt badly distressed by these difficulties, only strengthened his heart's desire. He determined to engage the superhuman powers of his four disciples to collect funds for the erection of the temple, or in other words, to do good to humanity without their knowledge and in apparent disregard of the dictates of their conscience. He instructed Tarki Turamani to call at the houses of rich men and to hold them in the meshes of his controversial discussions. His second disciple was to seize the opportunity for opening the doors of their treasuries, and his men would then remove their contents. The third disciple made collections from wealthy travelers by stopping them on their journey. That means he could hold them with this by touching their shadow. With the help of the fourth disciple, the saint brought away the vast accumulations of the royal treasury of the king's palace, which was surrounded by a moat as he walked across the water. In short, Tirumangai employed the services of a gang of robbers for procuring vast sums of money for building the wonderful temple of Sri Ranganath, which stands there to this day. After sufficient funds were obtained in the above manner, Tirumangai began the construction of the temple, on which he employed the most skillful architects and masons of the whole country. By the hard labor of thousands of workmen for 4 years, the first of the concentric enclosures was built. It took 6 years for the completion of the second, 8 years for the third, 10 years for the fourth, 12 years for the fifth, and 18 years for the sixth wall. The temple and other buildings were completed in 60 years. The saint was now an old man of 80. On perceiving the wonderful success of his activities, the neighboring rajas opened their purse strings to help the saint till the construction of the inner portion of the temple was fully carried out. Some were attracted by the opulence of the saint, and some through fear hastened to help him, thus acquiring religious merits. You can understand that after he collected so much money and through these ways of thieving, he must have had, some people were afraid of his powers like that. Tirumangai is said to have served the Supreme Lord with the greatest devotion. He had no desire for his pleasure or gain, and not a farthing of the collected funds was utilized for any other purpose. When the construction of the temple of Sri Ranganath, surrounded by 7 ramparts, was completed, Tirumangai remunerated the employees with due consideration till not a farthing was left on his hands. At this moment, about 1,000 robbers who had also helped in this great work approached Tirumangai and demanded all the money that had been collected by them. Tirumangai whispered something to his disciple, Jalopachar, means the one who could walk on water, and a huge flat bottom boat had been used to convey stones when the temple was under construction. Jalopachar now brought up this great boat and asked the robbers to get on board so that he might take them to the place where the treasures were kept. The boat was taken to midstream of the Kaveri and was sunk with all hands. The disciple Jalopachar walked back quickly over the surface of the water. Those robbers had planned to take the life of the saint on the return of Jalapa Parichar with his holy mission. The saint said to him, "The robbers have had a pious end in the sacred water of the Kaveri. Their souls will have rest at the feet of Sri Ranganath." Huh? We shouldn't imitate, no. So yes, we should not imitate. That is the instruction Srila Prabhupada mentioned also in the when he told Lord Krishna told Yudhishthira to tell a lie that Ashwatthama was dead in the battle of Kurukshetra. He told that you tell Duryodhana that Ashwatthama, his son, is dead, then he will give up his desire for fighting. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that no, you shouldn't imitate unless Krishna directly tells you, gives you instruction. Then you should give up any consideration of what is dharma and what is adharma. If the supreme dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, real religion means the order of the supreme personality of Godhead, and to follow that order is the highest piety. But one should not think that he can imitate such great souls by engaging in what is so generally accepted as impiety, our dharma. So what time do we got? We got time, I guess, time to stop. Hey, yes, all right.
Two simple questions. Maybe I didn't hear you correctly, but Gopal Bhatt Goswami was the nephew, wasn't he, of Venkata Bhatt?
No, he was the son of Venkata Bhatt. I could mention more about that. He was the disciple of Prabodhananda Saraswati, his uncle. Gopal Bhatt was the son of Venkata Bhatt. I think it's mentioned there now in the purport. No. He had a brother in the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati. The son of Venkata Bhatt was later known in the Gaudiya Sampradaya as Gopal Bhatt Goswami.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got confused. I thought it was the nephew. Son. Okay, the other thing is that, and not to sound like chauvinistic for our ISKCON society, we should never be chauvinistic, although we could be proud in the sense to belong to such an expansive society, giving the essence of all truth and religion all over the world. But won't the sometimes referred to as the Adbhuta Mandir in ISKCON Mayapur, won't that be even larger than the Raghunath temple? Not to be chauvinistic.
I hope so. Yes. I don't know exactly. I think my understanding is that the large temple means that the walls around the temple are very, it covers a very large area. That's just my understanding. Radhika Raman Prabhu is confirming it is also. He's been there, he served down there like that. It's the temple itself is, I don't think it's very big, is it? No? I mean, it's quite high, huh? It's big, yeah, okay. Yeah, the seven walls are there, yeah.
Because the temple is advertised as being larger than any other temple. Except for the Christian Catholic Vatican, a little smaller than that. That's the way, that's the promotion of the Adbhuta Mandir. Maybe it's very close.
That reminds me of something that, what is that in the Vedas? It says, Anora Niyan Mahato Mahiyan, that the Supreme Lord can be smaller than the smallest and larger than the largest. Because when I was researching this Tantgalai and Vadagalai, they have one other difference of opinion, and that the Tantgalai is the southern sect says that the Supreme Lord enters within the soul, as I think is what our understanding is, anoraniyan, that the Supreme Lord is smaller than the smallest. He enters into the heart of the soul. But the Vadakalais, they say that Vishnu is, the Supreme Lord is Vibhu, he's Ananta. How can the unlimited enter into this infinitesimal soul? They say it doesn't enter into the Supreme. Eh? Yeah? Okay. So, anyway, the temples can be both largest. That's my point. They can have different different criteria. Yes. So thank you. I don't know how to.
When you were just explaining about the one with the monkey and holding on to the monkey, and the other one was the cat holding the kitten, that's the one that we're familiar with, the cat. It says that you're like the kitten being held by the cat. But in practical life, how does that play out? You still have to do, it appears like, quite a bit to stay the kitten in the cat's mouth and not the mouth. So,
yes, we have to chant the holy name. We have to read Srila Prabhupada's books and follow the regulative principles.
Because I know I talked to Christian or one of the denomination of that group, and they had a controversy about works and grace.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was a similar idea.
It's a popular topic in religious different religious sects, I think, that whether we should even the one example is that of Draupadi, no? Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Draupadi that Dushasan, Karna, big Maharathis, they were trying to disrobe her, and she was holding on and calling, "Krishna, Krishna, save me." But then when she let go finally and gave completely surrender to the Lord, she said, "No, I can't do anything." So I, yes. One, yeah, please repeat that.
Mother Yasoda's another example. I'm sorry to butt in here. two fingers short, was it, that the rope was not long enough? And then it finally was successful because and one of those fingers represents works, her effort, that Krishna took compassion, seeing his mother perspiring and so tired running after, making real effort to catch him as her service. And the other is just the mercy of the Lord. So both, we're not saying only grace and only. And then at the end of the purport in Bhagavad Gita 4:24, about the story of the sparrow threatening to lick up the ocean. Some of us remember how Prabhupada ends that purport. God helps those who help themselves.
God helps those who help.
So both are there.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I don't know where the saying is that where that's from. Maybe it's just a popular saying that we should pray like everything depends on the Lord and work like everything depends on us. Is that just like a popular saying? Or I'm sorry, go ahead.
Prabhu, you were talking about Radharaman. Could you describe how Srimati Radharani appeared?
Srimati Radharani is not appeared.
Not?
Aprakat, it's called. She's there. Krishna is never alone, but we don't see her. They have only a sitting place in the crown there on the side of Radharaman. She's never separated from Krishna, especially in Vrindavan at least. But aprakat means not visible to our eyes. Yes, Madhav.
Did they hide Radharaman?
I'm quite sure they took him to what's it called, Fatehpur in UP, to the east. All the other deities went to the west. There's some that's another thing I was going to mention as the Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He had a disciple named Gopinath Pujari. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami wanted to continue on the worship of the deity after his departure. So he asked Gopinath Pujari what to do, that maybe you can get married and have your children can take care of the deity. And he said, no, my brother is already there, Damodar. He's already married. Yes. And so that family, the Radharaman Goswami's, the family, they come from that Damodar Pujari. He became Pujari of Radharaman. They have fire from the original installation of the deity that they still keep burning, and they use that for cooking for the deity and like that. And all these, there's different families. I don't know how many families there are. They rotate the service of the deity, rotated. This Padmanabh Goswami is one of those Vishwambhar Goswami like that. So, what was the question? I think one of those family members is living there in UP. I think the name of the town is Fatehpur, but I'm not completely sure about that. We visited there one time. We visited that the family one time when we were out on traveling, Sankirtan, Dina Bandhu and myself, and our bus, we went to Fatehpur. The name of the town, I'm not sure, but we went to that place where the Goswami lived. It's in UP. All right, anything else? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. That's a postgraduate study that Srila Prabhupada called it. Chaitanya Charitamrita.